Welcome to another episode of the Blemished Beauty Podcast. This podcast was designed with you in mind. If you're ready to erase the norm and embrace the truth, come pull up a chair, grab a journal, and tell a friend that your favorite Jersey girl is back with another episode. So let's get into it.
Hey, y'all. Welcome to another episode of the Blemished Beauty Podcast with your favorite Jersey girl, Shira Renee. And today I have an amazing conversation. You know, we are still in season 4 and we are wrapping up our survivor story. So this is your trigger warning. We are talking today to Miss V, and she is a survivor and low-key, she's a poet, y'all. But we're not going to get into her poetry. We're going to get into her survivor story today, maybe next time. But after her interlude, I'm going to bring her to the stage and we're going to have a conversation about her journey with domestic violence and other things that she had survived. How you doing?
I'm great.
It's good to see you on this side and not the comments. You have moved up to the screen. How you feel about that?
I feel all right about this.
Okay, that's what's up. I'm happy that you came on and you have decided to tell me a little bit about your story and all the things. So I'm gonna give you the floor so you can start and tell the people who you are.
So my name is Z. I'm from New York. I was born there, raised there, loved there, but I don't live there. I am a mom of 4 plus 3 more. I am a wife and I am most definitely a survivor.
I love that you said it most definitely, because you said that with your whole chest, a survivor. So what exactly, because there's so many things that we survive from, right? So what exactly are you a survivor of?
So I'm a survivor of domestic violence. I was abused in multiple relationships. 3 of them were male, 1 was female. And I'm here. I'm great.
Absolutely. Well, first off, let me say I'm glad that you're here because there are not a lot of survivors that definitely make it. So just having you being an advocate of survival, you know, that is a powerful thing. They say that it's different when you're in a male relationship versus a female relationship, but abuse is abuse. It doesn't matter if it's with a female or male, whether you're an adult or a child, abuse is abuse.
Yes.
So, what was your most, what was your most heaviest relationship out of the, you said 3 relationships that you had that were domestic?
So 4. So let me tell 4? You about the first one.
Okay.
So, when I was 16, well, I met him when I was about maybe 8, 9. We kind of grew up in the same area. So we knew each other. But of course, you never really know a person, right? So
absolutely.
I would say he left. I don't know where he disappeared to, but I seen him one day. And I was like on a balcony. I was 16 on my balcony and I was on the phone. And I seen him one day, and I love chocolate men. They are, I don't know what it is. But he was walking by so fine, so I done kicked my shoes on. I forgot I was on the phone. The phone came with me outside. And I chased him down, but then I acted like, you know, regular, like I was already walking or something.
Right.
But he's like, hey, Z, how you doing? I'm like, I'm good. I'm 16 now.
Okay.
But he told me to wait until I was 18 to, you know, to talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't care about that. So I am massively in love with this man. I mean, head over heels. You couldn't tell me nothing about him. And he ended up kind of homeless, and I would sneak food, blankets, whatever. He was staying in like some abandoned building, and I felt the urge to take care of him because I really, you know, felt for him. Mm-hmm. The first incident we had was I was in high school. You know, I'm talking to whoever I'm talking to. I'm having fun. I'm not in a relationship with nobody. I'm not flirting with nobody. I have friends. And he came to my house. He seen something on my computer one day. And I mean, he got infuriated. But I thought he left it alone because, you know, it wasn't really that serious. We went out, we went shopping, got ice cream. We came back. And he just, I mean, went off. He's like, give me all my stuff out your house and this and that. So I try to, I'm like, walk ahead of him so I can get in my building. I told the doorman, don't let the man in. He bugging. But he let him in. And so I went inside the elevator. I get upstairs. I go inside my house. And then he came in my house behind me.
Wow.
And so he came in my room and he grabs like his pictures and he grabs whatever he had there. But then he grabbed me. I'm trying to understand, like, I'm asking him what the problem is. What's your problem? He grabbed me. He flew me. I didn't think nothing of it. I just, you know, I'm 16. I'm in mm-hmm. love. You know, he didn't do nothing that major. It's okay. But then I kind of left him alone. I found out I was pregnant. We was having fun New Year's Eve. And I found out I was pregnant June of that year.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't together, but at this point I'm 17 years old and I don't know what to do with no baby.
Right.
You know, I done said I'm not pregnant. I found out I'm 5 months pregnant, right? I don't know nothing about pregnancies. I didn't even know I was pregnant. I didn't look pregnant. I told him about it, and when he came, he was in jail. So when he came home because there was a situation at my house and I couldn't stay there. It wasn't safe. So my 17-year-old self tried to go to a shelter, and because I couldn't go to the shelter, then that's when life started for me.
Yeah.
So we ended up getting married. My grandma signed the papers, and it just started off like him yelling and screaming and screaming and yelling because I was just pregnant. You know, he didn't do anything mm-hmm. physically. But he just made me feel so low, you know, so like I didn't feel worth life,
right?
You know? And then when we went to, after I had the baby and we went to the family shelter, things just took a major turn. So my grandma, when we got married, she gave me this Bible. And this Bible was my best friend. I took every time he would hit me or he would do something to me, I take this Bible in the bathroom with me and I start reading certain scriptures, right? Mm-hmm. And it, to me, in my mind, it kind of made me feel safe a little bit, right? So the first situation in this family shelter, after I had the baby, he likes to drink, and his favorite drinks were St. Ives and 211 Still. Those drinks are not it, okay? So he's drinking those back and forth and forth and back and just having a field day drinking. And he told me, like, he left. He came back, and he just kind of stalled on me. I don't know. Like, I was on the floor. He pulling on my hair. He hit me with a stick. He just doing all type. I'm only 18. I just had a baby. I'm tired. I just want to get in the shower. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It was crazy. Then he left. He came back again. But this time when he came back, he was like, if I was you, I would leave. Like, yeah. I would leave right now. You ain't had to tell me twice. I put my jacket on, no shirt.
Well, that's right.
He's on, grab the baby, forget what the baby need. We out of here. It's like 12, between 12 and 2 in the morning. I'm calling my mom at a payphone. But he's walking by me, taunting me, right? So I'm calling her, like, please answer. I got this big old knot on my head. Please mm-hmm. answer the phone. I just need to get somewhere. So I go to her house. He calls her phone, and he says to me on the phone, he says, don't tell him what happened. And I'm like, how? How not? They can see it.
See, right.
It's there. Well, I go back to the shelter and I try to see how I can, you know, remove myself from this situation. But they told me I would have to start the whole process over, and I don't want to do that. Not with a new baby. That's too much. So we end up getting our voucher for our place. We moved. And when we moved, he wants to know if he can make girl babies. So a girl baby got made. I didn't want no baby, you know. Mm-hmm. I got a 6-week old,
right?
You know, I'm right. Not even all the way sealed up yet. Like, right. Let me know. He want to see, so I let him see. Go ahead, you know. She comes. My babies are 10 months apart. Okay, so one was born 2 weeks after my 18th birthday. And the other one was born a month before my 19th birthday.
Wow.
And it is literally like raising a set of twins. It is the hardest thing, especially when you're married, your husband's going to jail, back and forth. You don't have no support system.
Right.
My grandma kicked me out because I was pregnant. They packed up all of my bags, my items. Everything, they put it in a U-Haul and said, come get your stuff. I'm talking 17 years of life in this one house. They cut off my graduation party. And I'm talking about I went to school pregnant. If you're from New York City, you'll understand what I'm about to say. I'm talking about Queens, Jamaica, Queens, all the way to Yonkers, New York, to go to school every day pregnant. I'm tired. But I did that on purpose because I didn't want nobody to think that my pregnancy was going to stop me from getting a high school diploma. That didn't disable me. You know, I'm going through something right now. I don't know what I'm going through. I'm too young to understand, but we're going to figure this all out.
Right.
So living with this man was probably one of the worst things I've ever done. We got our place and we're in our place, and we got into a situation. We got into an argument and he started throwing knives at me. The argument was, let me tell you what it was. I was on a train and I was pregnant with my baby. My other baby was 6 months old, and he's teething, he's crying, he's screaming, he's kicking. I'm too exhausted to just sit on this train and cradle this baby.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So a lady says, I know why that baby crying. Why don't you just hold him? I'm like, if you know why he crying, why don't you come pick him up and you soothe him? I'm tired.
Yeah.
So she said, well, you need to shut him up. I'm like, you could just go to the next car. Like, you don't have to. So another lady stepped in. I don't know this lady from Adam. Lady number two steps in, and in my defense, and she told the lady off. Okay, so now I get to my stop, I go home, and I'm not thinking nothing of this argument no more. Like, it's done, okay? I don't need to tell this man. I don't want to tell him anything, to be honest.
Right.
My business, my business. But he comes home. He went to the store, and he comes back. When he came back from the store, he said, tell me about your train ride. I'm like, tell you about my train ride. So I told him. He said, well, how many kids do you have? I said, I have one and one on the way. He said, no, that's not what the lady said. She heard you say that you had 6 kids. I said, 6 kids at 18? That go crazy. That's crazy. So he said, yeah. He said, so how many kids do you have? He said, your sister baby, your baby. I said, no, like I literally have one and one on the way. He said, I'm gonna ask you one more time. I said, okay. So he said it. He said, how many babies do you have? I said, I have one. When I got to the one on, my head went into the cabinet. straight into the cabinet. I'm like, I didn't get no chance. You know what I'm saying? I tried to run into the bathroom. He kicked the door in, right? And he pulled me out. I have a scar. And I'm wiggling out, I'm trying to wiggle out my sweater. We had these knives inside of a box because he was scared. Like, we didn't sleep in our bedroom. We slept in the living room because he paranoid, right?
Mm-hmm.
The fire escape. So we had these knives in the box. And he took those and he's tossing. I mean, this is crazy. So I left. I'm out. I have nothing that can keep me warm in 12 degree weather. So I go downstairs, I call his aunt, and I'm like, look, I don't know what to do. I'm scared for my life. What do I do? She was like, look, just go back home. I'm going to call him. So I'm like, all right. So I'm walking. I'm walking back towards my house, and he's walking towards me, right? But now, I didn't realize that there was no baby with him when he came downstairs. So he's walking towards me. I'm walking towards the building. He says, give me all your stuff. I'm like, all my stuff?
You don't have nothing.
All your stuff. No, he went in my pockets. No, before he went in my pockets, I gave him half my money.
Oh my
God. And I gave him, I think, my ID or something, you know, to try to get him off my back. So I'm trying to go. Well, no, I didn't go upstairs. I proceed to walk up the street to call his aunt back because he told me not to come back. Okay, you don't live here no more. So I try to go call his aunt again. I'm walking up the street. We in the Bronx. I'm walking up to the concourse. And he's yelling my name, screaming, Z, Z. And I'm like, I'm trying to ignore it. But I know he calling me, but I just want to get to the phone. Okay? Because he don't have no problem in public doing what he needs.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have, he finally gets to me. And I mean, like the whole shakedown. He took everything. All my money, my social security card. Anything that I had on me was now gone. He says, if I was you, I would come get all my stuff out the hallway. I packed your bags. You don't live here no more. It's 12 degrees outside. I'm pregnant.
Wow.
Like, are you kidding me? So now I grab my stuff and I walk back up the street again. And I'm begging people for a quarter because I don't have it. I just need to call his aunt back. So I call her back. And the reason why I can't call my family is because they're not helpful. They don't, there's no help here, you know? So I call his aunt back and I'm like, listen, like he done packed up my stuff. It was in the hallway. I don't have nowhere to go. I don't know what to do. So she says, well, come to my house. So I'm like, all right. Now I didn't know not to tell the cab driver that I don't have money first. So I'm like, look, when I get there, my aunt-in-law, she going to pay you. Like 3-4 cabs was like, no. So I finally caught it. I'm just so frustrated. I finally caught it. Like, all right, look, let me just get in. This is where I'm going. All right. It's cold, man. So I get to our house and now we trying to get the baby. And he calls his mom and his mom calls and she's like, oh, well, he done turned on all the eyes and he just want to give Z the baby. And he's this and he's that. And I'm like, no, I don't know what to do. So he called and he was like, tell Z to come over here, pick up the baby. I'm put them back in the cab. His aunt was like, no, she ain't coming over there. Mm-mm. You come bring the baby here. Mm-hmm. Okay. Where I could see what you're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Mind you, now she was pregnant too. So he comes and he brings the baby. I get my baby now. But now I'm in the living room and I'm on the couch, right? And his cousin was on the couch with me. It's me, my baby, and his cousin. But his cousin was sleeping right under the window on the couch. So I couldn't sleep because something in me just felt like he was about to do something so dumb. I felt in my soul that he would put like 2 jars of baby food inside of a brown bag and then set it on fire and throw it through the window. That's what I thought he would do, right? So I couldn't sleep. I'm staying awake for this. But what he did was he put 2 jars of baby food in a brown bag for real. And he wrote on it, you got the right one. And then he threw it through the window. So her window, double plated, double glass window broke. I had to pay for this. It's my bill.
Wow.
Right? And then I tried to go to New Jersey. So my father lives in Jersey. He got a DV shelter out there for me to go to. In the midst of me going there, I went to stay at my sister's house, stayed at my other grandma's house, and then I went to this DV shelter. Now, I didn't like this DV shelter because you can't, like, it's like being back in the same situation. I got a TV time.
Mm-hmm.
I got to clean up after other women.
Rules, yep.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So then I went to the next, well, I talked to a lawyer, and this lawyer actually told me that I couldn't take my son because I didn't have custody from one state to another.
Mm-hmm.
He can call and say, you kidnapped this baby. Mm-hmm. So how would you, I go back to your state. So I went back to New York. I went to another DV shelter in Brooklyn. And then here he go. I'm comfortable. I done got my voucher. I'm ready to look for a place. And here he come. Round two. He says, I miss you. He tells me all my favorite things and makes me feel so good. And his mom, she's like, oh, he wants to talk to you. He wants to talk to his son. And then here go his father. And I don't talk to his father too often. So this is just all too much.
Right.
So fine, I talk to him. And then he gave me a little puppy because we went to go meet up with him. He worked for the parks department. So we went to go meet up with him. He gave me a little puppy to take. I take this little puppy with me to the shelter. Oh, my baby, he loves this puppy. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still pregnant, by the way. So now we take the puppy back. But then a week later, he calls me. He says, Z, listen, this is still your house. And I was wondering if there's a woman at my job, her and her husband or boyfriend, and their children don't have nowhere to live. Now, we had a little one-bedroom apartment. So they don't have nowhere to live. Do you mind if they stay in the living room? Now, I had no intention on going back there. So I'm like, sure. You know, it's her man. You know what I'm saying? I ain't thinking nothing of it. Then I thought about it as me and him talking. He's like, yeah, the boyfriend don't never be here. The boyfriend, he got his own place, and he don't want her there. And I'm like, this sounds kind of strange. Now I go home and I became a sister wife.
Lord.
Okay, so now me, him, her, we living in a house. But at first it was me, him in our room, her in the living room. Then it became me, him, her, and all the kids in my bedroom. We didn't have like an actual bed. We just had a mattress on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
So then it became me and her and the kids on the mattress and him sleeping with his head in my direction on the floor. Then one day I wake up and he over here and he not right here. And I'm like, what's going on over here? What y'all got? So then one day, I'm talking about weeks. They keep this going. One day, I wake up, it's like 6 in the morning, and they gone. They nowhere to be found. I mean, I became the babysitter. Them not my kids. Like, where is you at? So I sat there, and I watched the clock. I watched this clock, boy, until that thing said 7 o'clock. She came in with a little black bag. I said, where you been? She said, we just went to the store. I said, for an hour? I woke up. It's been an hour. How long y'all was gone? She said, no, he coming right now. I said, why he coming after you? But all right, I couldn't question him now.
Mm-hmm. Of course
not. I don't want no problem.
You don't want that sauce. Yeah, right.
I definitely want to know what you got going on, sis, because mm-hmm. you don't want that problem. I'm trying to spare you. So one day, it's a lot of one days, right? One day I went to go pick up my little sister. All of these are like cycling after each other. One day I went to go pick up my little sister because, you know, I've spent most of my life helping take care of her.
Mm-hmm.
I pick her up to bring her to my house, but he sent her with me to go pick my sister up. So now I got my sister wife with me. We going to pick up my little sister. We get to my mother house. My mother looked at this lady like, what is going on?
Yeah.
Who's she? And I'm just like, I don't know what to say. I'm like, she just needed somewhere to live. So he gave her a place to stay. And I don't know. But on the way, I told her, I said, listen to me. I've known this man for years and years. That is my whole husband. Okay, I don't know what y'all got going on. And to be frank with you, if that's what you want, I'll let you have him. But I'm telling you, the whoopings you're going to get is going to be way worse than what he give me. It's not just going to be a black eye and a busted lip and maybe he pull you somewhere. It's not going to be that. He going to really give you something because you think you better than me. You know, so if you can play the role, go for it. You know, but we get there. I didn't tell you this part. Before we left to go get my sister, behind the front door, there were, it's 12 condoms in a pack, I think, right? So it was a dozen of condoms, but it wasn't a dozen. It was two dozen. One was missing because me and him used one. So okay. I think it was like 23 condoms.
23, right.
Mm-hmm. Right. So he laid it behind the front door. I counted them before I left to make sure, right? And then I left with her. Me and her, we left. So now we come back with my sister. All 23 are gone. They gone. He came to me and he said, so where those condoms go? I don't know where they went. How would I know where they went? I wasn't here. I left.
Right, right.
So him and her go to the store. But before they go to the store, he says, if I was you, I would find them condoms right now. I'm like, how am I going to find them? Find them where?
Right.
So now she come back first and I asked her, I say, does he really feel like I took these condoms? And it's so crazy now that I'm speaking this out loud that I even asked this next woman what my husband is feeling. So I said, he really feel like I took these condoms? And she was like, yeah, but I know you didn't take them. I'm like, so why are you not helping me? Because he's going to come back here and I'm about to get my face smashed in. Why are you not helping me? Tell him that. She was like, I mean, I don't know what to say. I'm like, okay. So he came in. He said, you found them? I said, I don't know where they at. Like, I don't know where to look. Oh, my face got knocked in something crazy. And she tried to stop him. And he was like, back up. This ain't between. This has nothing to do with you. And I'm just like, this is in my mind. This is all too much.
Yeah.
You know? So it got to a point where he ended up having to go serve some time. This is where I saved myself a second time. He had to go serve some time. And he sent me and my two babies now down south to South Carolina with his mom. I am so unhappy in my marriage. The first man that says, you are beautiful. I'm like, yes, sir. Thank you. What do you see? Okay. I haven't seen my mom for maybe that whole year, probably. When I was down south, I done talked to so many people. I done had fun. My sister-in-law done taught me how to make a Facebook. She done taught me how to do it and everything. And I'm meeting, greeting and talking to people I haven't talked to in years. I'm having fun. But then his mom, she went on a computer and I didn't know to log out and she seen my messages. So she called my mother. She said, your daughter cheating on my son. She can't stay here and this and that. And I was like, this is okay. I'm fine with this.
I know that's right.
What's the next train out of here? My mother paid for my ticket. Now, when I got back, right? Now, normally I weigh close to 190. When I got back to the city, you'd have thought I was smoking crack for the past 10 years or something. Sure. I was so skinny. Mm-hmm. You know, me and Stress, we not friends. I don't eat. There's no appetite. There's no desire to do nothing. I'm talking about I came from a household where a man is putting a match in the door to make sure the door was never open. I couldn't open my front door. I couldn't leave out my house. For me to be home by myself, he gave me a composition book and a pen. And he told me when he goes to work, he wants me to write all of the marital scriptures in the Bible in this composition book. So when he come home, we can go over it. I'm lost, but this has become my life so quick. You know, I mean, just in a matter of seconds, I don't fit my clothes. I don't know nothing about life. I'm just a child still in my mind. Mm-hmm. You know, my grandma didn't help me. She done signed me over to the devil. But when I went to this, I went to this DV shelter, and one question was, and I say this so humbly, the lady said, because we had to do like group sessions. So she said, if you can get revenge on your abuser, what would it be? She went around a circle. She got to me and I said, you know, I wouldn't want nothing bad in particular to happen to him. Like not him lose his life, or I would like for him to go to jail for a very long time so I know where he at. Mm. No, I feel safe. I'm moved. Even after being in this relationship, because it took me maybe 3-4 times before I actually left him. But when I finally did leave, I moved from New York to Connecticut, from Connecticut to Florida, from Florida to Virginia. I didn't stay in the same place for more than 6 months. I don't want him. The moment I talked to him and I felt like he could track me, I'm out. I don't want to be there. I got to Virginia and I got real comfortable because I just felt like, you know, first off, I don't put my phone number as the state I'm in. I learned that. Right. I don't use my address. We use P.O. Box, not in the same county I'm in. We're going to go somewhere else. It might be an hour drive. You don't know where I'm be at. Mm-hmm. But I've learned how to maneuver to where he can't find me. Well, in 2017, I think, I was in New York. I went up there. I got in a car accident. I was facing some homelessness, me and my children. But my brother-in-law called me, and he says, when the last time you spoke to your ex-husband? And I'm like, maybe 6-7 years ago. I don't know. He says, look, go on Google and put his name in. All right, embrace yourself for what you about to read. So I'm like, brace myself. So I'm like, all right, well, I go. Big old picture of him in an orange jumpsuit. Big old picture of the woman he was with and her little clothes. They both there on the screen. It says partial decapitation. I don't even know how to say the word. But he tried to cut somebody's head off. Okay? Let me tell you something. I am touched from my head to my toes. Okay.
Absolutely.
You do anything to me, I don't never do no wrong to nobody. I don't harm people. I don't wish nobody no ill will. You could tell me you don't like me today, and I tell you to have a great one. Okay. I want you to still be blessed. Why? Because situations like him, who is now serving a life sentence, I know where he at. I'm not bothered. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? That's what happens every time, every relationship I enter. If you harm me, harm comes back to you. It might not come back right away. Mm-hmm. It might take some time, but it's coming. It's coming. So but that one was, I wrote a book. I'm in the process of learning how to publish it. All of these stories are in this book because I feel like we don't have, like, as a Black community, our families aren't the best support systems.
No.
You know, they don't know certain resources. They don't know certain things to say to help you. You know, it's not great. You know, people need outlets. People need resources. They need somebody they can speak to that can relate to them, that understands Absolutely. What they've been through. Mm-hmm. Maybe I can give you some sort of guidance. I've been there. multiple times. You know, I've been harmed. I'm going to tell you real quick about the situation with the female, right? Because a lot of people hear, oh, that's a girl. Why you ain't just beat her up? And it's not that simple. The woman I was dealing with was a trans. So she was taking testosterone. So she's not like your average female. You know, she don't hit like your average female. It does not feel all light like a feather. You know, it. Yes, I did fight back because she was a woman still, you know, but I can't fight back. She had control. Like, every fight back wasn't going to work. It was controlled to the point where, hey, come in this bathroom right now. Come here. I want to talk to you. Go in the bathroom and then you get smacked. You don't know what you did. She just mad, you know? But I learned that she had multiple personalities. Mm. I witnessed this. I've never witnessed this in my life. I'm talking about this woman went from a regular person to sometimes a baby, like literally in a fetal position, rocking and crying and just, you got to go over and cradle her and make her feel like, I mean, this is the craziest thing. And then she'll turn into this evil person. And then she want to party all over the place. It's just, who are you?
Right.
Her therapist said to me, if I was you, this is not safe. I don't think you should continue this. I took heed. I'm out of here. I'm not dealing with you. She bit my finger. We was fighting one day. And I don't know if I was getting the best of her because she was intoxicated. So my finger slipped in her mouth, but don't chomp down and bite me. You know, just let me get it out of there real quick. No, she bit my finger and fight was over. I don't even want to fight you no more. I want to go to the doctor. But it is real. You know, female abuse is very real. Okay, yeah. And especially when a woman is taking testosterone, she is not your class weight no more.
Okay.
This woman is now a whole new level of woman.
Yes.
But it's hurt. Okay. This woman, she fights men. So I've seen her fight men. I've seen her win these fights.
Wow.
It can be dangerous. It can be dangerous either way. Even on a man standpoint, it is dangerous regardless. I don't stand for it. I don't think it's okay. I have two of my own boys. I have two stepsons. I do not condone. I don't think it's okay. I'm never with the whole putting your hands on anybody. But I will say this. Somebody touch you, you have every right to defend yourself.
Absolutely.
You have every right to do whatever you need to do to
get out of there.
If this person is harming you on a day-to-day basis, you find your plan in your head and make your way out. It is not that simple. It's never that simple. People always say, why they just leave?
Why they just leave?
It's not that simple. When somebody has control of your mental, that's it. Your mental, when somebody has control of your finances, your emotions, your physical, I mean, they got control over all of you. You done. It's not just leave. I couldn't just leave. I opened the door, the match falls. That's a problem in my mind. Y'all might say, the match fell. Just walk out the door. Don't come back. It's not that simple.
Right.
It's all control. It's all control, manipulation, and, you know, I made it. My sister-in-law said to me one day, she said, look, I love you. I love you so much. You gave me my niece. You gave me my nephew. This is great. But I also love your life. You know, what happened to you? She said you used to get your hair done every week, your nails done. You used to look like you was the prettiest thing ever. Mm-hmm. Now look at you. Look at you. You're running, you're crying, you're scared. I don't want you to die. She said, this is my brother. I love him too. But I know he's not safe. And he's not safe for nobody. He's not safe for you. You know, if I was you, I would just leave him alone. Do what you need to do for you and your children. And live your best life. So I have went to school. I am a phlebotomist. I don't work that field. I did it. I've done many things intentionally to show my children that they can be whatever they want to be in life. There is no limitation to anything. I have went to school for phlebotomy. I went to school for medical billing. I went to school. I have a certificate in billing and coding. I make carpets. I am a cake baker. I do tattoos. I write poetry. I have a long list of what I like.
Resume.
Okay. I keep my mind occupied. And a lot of it comes from finding yourself. You know, you have to know yourself. You have to love yourself. What you are is who you attract. Right? I love me enough. It took me some time to sit down with myself and understand who I am. Question yourself. Right? My question was, why am I attracting so many people that are beating on me? You know, once I figured that out, I stopped attracting. I am happily married. My husband does not have a hand problem. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
He goes to work every day. All right. And he takes care of us. He is phenomenal. So life just changes as you change.
There's so many emotions that you had to endure being 17, 18, on the verge of becoming an adult. Mm-hmm. Usually people are excited about, oh, now I can stay up a little later. Now I can go out a little later. Now, but you're 17, 18, pregnant with a baby. Fearing for your life,
right?
Like then having to deal with isolation from your family, abandonment, maybe rejection, and then having this person that you're living with where you have to walk on eggshells every mm-hmm. single day. It's like I said this in a previous episode, living with a narcissist or in a domestic violence situation is like walking in a field with landmines and you don't know where it's going to blow. Yeah, you don't know. You just don't know. And it's like, you can't rest. You sleep, but mm-hmm. you're not going to rest. Like, you're isolated from your family. It's like you're screaming out loud and nobody can hear you. Mm-hmm. And it's like you become a shell of yourself. Like you said, the same thing happened to me. I thought I was really, really slick and saying, I'm fine. You know, disguising myself and my oldest son. He was like, Ma, you good? And I'm like, nah, yeah, I'm good. Mm-hmm. He was like, no, you're not. You don't smile no more. You don't have this bubbly personality. Right. You know, you're not yourself. And then I was right. like, dang, I can't hide it no more. So right. you don't know how bad it is until somebody brings it to your attention. Mm-hmm. And then you sit there and be like, now I have to make a change. Now right. I have to do something for the better. But that moment you get that window you see everything that you're capable of.
Oh yeah.
It's like, oh, I'm doing this. I could do this. I could do this. I could do this. It's like slowly have to rebuild what was broken.
Right.
You start with your mind. Then you start with your aesthetics. Then you start with, and then everything starts to change and blossom over time. So I am so happy that it was a complete turnaround for you and are happy and you're thriving and you have a plethora of things on your resume that you can keep you booked and busy. And most of all, that you are still here. Yes. So I want to give you a minute to tell the people where they can find you. If you want to give them any advice, you know, on if they feel like they cannot leave, right? We talked about having a plan. That's important. Having resources. Some people don't know that there's hotlines that you can call.
Right.
You know, some people don't know about the shelters that's in place. So if you want to tell the people anything, and then you could tell them where to find you.
So I would say for young women, that are experiencing domestic violence, there is a lot of help, a lot of resources. You are not by yourself. There's a lot of DV hotlines. They have safe houses, safe havens that you can go to. But there is help. I would say when it comes to planning, be sure that you are ready for what you are about to endeavor. Once you leave, you have to be sure that your mind is ready and prepared for what comes for that. You're taking a connection and you're disconnecting. Love yourself first. Know that you are worth it. Your value is everything. And be great. You can find me on Facebook as Z Smith. YouTube is Poetically Sincere. And I'm on TikTok as Z, of course. That's where you can find me.
So I'm definitely going to put all your information in the show notes so they can definitely click and follow you. And I want to thank you for coming on here and telling your story, because it will definitely be a testament for somebody to give them confirmation that they can move on and there is life on the other side. Because a lot of the times when we're in these situations, we don't feel like there's going to be happiness on the other side. This is as good right. as we're going to get. So, right. you know, just you saying, listen, now I'm happily married. This man don't have a hand problem. I have done X, Y, and Z. You know what I'm saying? So just you saying that alone will just be enough for somebody to just want to move forward and take the leap to get their freedom. So I appreciate right. you for coming on.
Of course.
All right. And we'll talk to you soon.
All right.
And don't go nowhere. We're gonna talk after this episode.
All right.
Okay, you guys. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And as always, I want you to remember that you are graced and gifted for a time such as this. You definitely have purpose in this world, and you have been created to do great and amazing things. So until next time, talk to you guys later.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode, and don't forget to leave a review. You can follow Shira on all major platforms and on YouTube at ShiraRenee510. Until next time, spread love, show grace, and shine bright.